Hello and welcome. This is the Top 5 on Press TV. Thank you for joining us. Iran's envoy to the United Nations says Washington's coercive measures against other countries amount to collective punishment and violate human rights. Ghulam Ali Khosrow slammed the U.S. sanctions against Iran as illegal, adding that they are an example of Washington's coercive measures. He said the U.S. is addicted to using threats as a foreign policy tool. The Iranian diplomat added that such an approach weakens the UN, undermines its legitimacy, and violates its charter. Earlier this year, U.S. President Donald Trump pulled his country out of the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, reimposed sanctions on Tehran. Washington has threatened to impose sanctions on countries that continue trading with Iran as well. For more on that, we are joined live from Ontario by Mr. Edward Corrigan, international lawyer. Thank you very much, Mr. Corrigan, once again for joining us on Press TV's Top 5. Can you elaborate more, please, on the Iranian representative at the United Nations when he says that these measures taken by the U.S. undermine the U.N.? What exactly does Mr. Khosrow mean?
Well, first of all, the International Court of Justice is the highest legal authority within the United Nations. It operates out of The Hague. So this is the resolutions or decisions are considered binding, but unfortunately the United Nations and the International Court of Justice does not have the power to enforce its resolutions. So some countries, particularly the United States, on several occasions has refused to accept the jurisdiction of the court and also has simply ignored its rulings. And so this is the case. There was an earlier case where the International Court of Justice actually upheld the right that the Americans had the right to seize assets, and their domestic law was applicable with regard to a judgment made against Iran, linking them supposedly to the attacks on 9/11, even though there's no factual basis for that or any legal finding or evidence to support that conclusion. It was a default judgment. Myself and a number of other lawyers have urged Iran actually to fight that, to have a proper decision, but the Iranian government chose not to deal with that. There still may be a possibility to reopen that decision. But there was a case a number of years ago about Iranian oil platforms against the United States where the court did rule and accepted jurisdiction and also applied the 1955 Treaty of Amity. Now, the decision in the International Court is an interim measure, provisional measure, which addressed some of the more egregious aspects of it with regard to, you know, medicine, healthcare, food, also the airplane parts for civilian airliners, saying that this would put the people in Iran at risk and that this was unacceptable. So the International Court of Justice upheld a major portion of the complaint that Iran made against the United States. But again, it's an interim measure. It still has to be fought out between the two parties, where the United States claims that the International Court of Justice does not have jurisdiction, and that even if they do, it's in the United States' national security interest to apply these restrictions on Iran. But it's interesting to compare how, you know, the number of violations that Israel has made, which is fully supported by the Americans, also this recent the assassination of Khashoggi and murder in Istanbul, Turkey. You know, the Americans are not prepared to take any action, even though the evidence is overwhelming that this is a major criminal violation. But the Americans are pick and choose who they want to penalize, and it's incredibly politically biased process. Now, the decision of the International Court of Justice largely relies upon the 1955 Amity Treaty, but that was in force and it was applicable, and of course you just can't throw out a treaty and ignore it at will. However, now the United States has in fact formally withdrawn the 1955 treaty, but it was in force whenever these initial sanctions were imposed and the United States drew out of the agreement on nuclear I guess, use of in Iran. So at that time, it clearly was in effect. I would argue that they can't retroactively, you know, that the treaty still applies, that they can't move it and retroactively, you know, remove its provisions because they lose a case, okay? It would be, I think, incumbent upon the United States that they would have to start over now that the treaty has been formally revoked and that the previous legal rulings, according to the treaty, were in fact illegal, as the International Court of Justice has found out. The Iranian ambassador is talking about, you know, international law, the United Nations, you know, larger, more sort of philosophical questions, which I think are relevant. But I think that Iran also should be talking about the Security Council resolution that was signed by all the parties, unanimously approved by all the countries, including the United States, and was enforced. And Security Council resolutions are, in effect, binding on the world community and certainly other countries that have supported it, but also on the United States. They can't just sort of, you know, pick and choose what they want to do and then all unilaterally revoke items, because that would create chaos and certainly damage the public image of the United States. But Trump apparently is not concerned about that. And one of their senior officials said the International Court of Justice is dead to us. Yes.
I'm very sorry. We are running out of time. Thank you very much for that very detailed explanation. I'm very sorry. We're going to have to move on. Thank you very much,
sir. Thank you.
Your comments are always welcome.